Blog Talk Hi. Radio.
Hi, good evening again.
Okay, well, welcome again. We are so glad that you have been able to join us here at Love in Action. We're excited about tonight. We are every week, but we've got some special things tonight. But before we get into all that, let's open up in prayer. So, Daddy God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, Lord. Gosh, Lord, we're so thankful for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint this time, that we would speak what you would have us to speak, and that people would hear what you want them to hear. So we thank you for this time, Lord. We give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, guys, we get here together every Hi, good evening, guys. Again, this is Connie with Love in Action, and we're excited tonight. We're going to be speaking with you about attrition warfare and how God loves you. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Love in Action. We are a nonprofit organization. We are dedicated to helping people locally and globally through spiritual, medical, scholastic, financial, and other means, making a dramatic difference in their lives. If you need to get in touch with us, you may email us at loveinactioninc@gmail.com or have an 800 number, 800-462-4058. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about attrition warfare. Daddy God, we come to you in Jesus' name. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Help us to understand what it is you're telling us. We dedicate this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Attrition warfare. Really, Connie? What is attrition warfare? Well, I'm telling you, we all experience, but maybe we don't recognize it or know exactly what it is or what's going on. Attrition warfare is something, it's a war technique, obviously. And it's a military tactic in which a belligerent, or one who wages war, attempts to win a war by wearing down its enemy to the point of collapse through continuous losses in personnel and material, and it's usually won by the side who has greater resources. So in a sense that attrition warfare represents an attempt to grind down an opponent through superior numbers, it represents the opposite of the usual principles of war. So normally the enemy attempts to achieve decisive victories through maneuver, concentration of force, surprise, and things like that. On the other hand, a side that perceives itself to be at a marked disadvantage in maneuver warfare or unit tactics may deliberately seek out attrition warfare to neutralize its opponent's advantages. So what we're talking about tonight, guys, is spiritual warfare, in which the enemy, the devil, is notably much less powerful than our God. Therefore, the devil seeks to wear us down so he can take us out. Now, if the sides were nearly evenly matched, the outcome of a war of attrition is likely to be a spheric victory, which means a victory with such devastating cost that it carries the implication that another such victory will ultimately lead to defeat. But you guys, that's not with us who belong to Jesus. The sides are not evenly matched. We have a very strong advantage. Remember, Jesus and the devil are not equal in power. Jesus is God, the creator of all things, including the angels before they fell. So oftentimes this attrition warfare, or the wearing down of us, is enough to make some folks cave in and give up. But not us, you guys, not us. We are wise to the tactics of the enemy. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalms 34:10 about being skillful. And it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So did you know that according to the word of God, there is no lack in the body of Christ? Everything we could ever need, every problem we could ever face has been covered by the blood of Jesus. And his exceeding great and precious promises have supplied it all for us. Hebrews 5:13 says to become skillful in the word of righteousness. It takes skill to apply the word of God. And sometimes we just sling around the word, meaning the scriptures from the Bible, and we try to use it any old way. Then we pray a simple prayer saying, oh, well, God knows what I mean, and expect it to be answered. But we wouldn't stand for that kind of carelessness in our other day-to-day life, would we? So, we live in an instant society, you guys. You know that. Everything is supposed to be quick and easy and instant. But we need to realize that there are situations that we're going to have to take some time and pray in the Holy Ghost, and times when we're going to have to sit there and listen for God's instructions. So it's a battle of the mind. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 says, therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when it says here, gird, it implies to be ready for battle, for spiritual battle, and to bind yourself with God's armor. Put on the armor of God, which is in Ephesians 6, 1 through 10. And here's how that reads, 10 through 18, excuse me, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, so that you will be able to stand firm successfully against the schemes of the devil, which is all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the despotisms, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness, which are master spirits, rulers of this present darkness, spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly places or the supernatural spheres. That is who our war is against, you guys. So therefore, verse 13, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm, firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground against the devil and his wicked forces, having girded your loins with the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is integrity, morality, and right standing with God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of peace to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith covering the Holy Spirit with salvation, which you will be able to extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You need to put your armor of God on every day. So there's a lot of other scriptures I'd like you to hear. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, you guys, really, it starts in your mind. It's a battle in your mind. Now, back to this attrition warfare. If the enemy can wear you down and you suffer somehow, and keep in mind, the enemy's always going to go for your weak link, right? And if he can wear you down, oh, man, here comes problems at work. Bam, that's a blow. Then here comes a problem in your marriage or in your family. Bam, some more punches from the enemy. Then all of a sudden you have a big bill coming and you don't have the money that you thought you were going to have. Bam, there's another bill. Then maybe you're not feeling good and you haven't been diagnosed with a sickness or something. Bam, and the enemy keeps hitting you. You don't hardly have time to catch your breath and stand up. That's attrition warfare. But when these things happen, guys, because you have your whole armor on all the time, you're going to say, "Huh, devil, not today. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have the whole armor of God on. Huh-uh." And you keep your eyes on Jesus and on the Word of God. God says that His Word never returns empty, but always accomplishes what it's sent forth to do. So, your effective spiritual warfare, says again here in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I mean the pulling down and destruction of strongholds that have come against you in your life. You know, if you can just realize who you are in Christ. You know, Jesus, God, the creator of the universe, God, laid down His life for you, went through all the horrible torture and death that He did, shed every bit of blood so that you can reach out to Him and ask Him to be your Savior and forgive you your sins. And then along with that comes all the promises of the Bible and all the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. You have authority over the devil. You say, "Shut up, devil, in Jesus' name. I'm not putting up with that, and that's a lie, and it's not the truth." The truth, the Word of God says this. There's another thing, guys. I want you to know that you are so loved. Why would God do this for us? Provide always a way out. Provide everything that we need. He does it because He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You are His everlasting love. It says in Psalms 119:41, "Let your mercies, your faithful love, unfailing love, your loving kindness come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Exodus 15:13, "In your unfailing love you lead your people you have redeemed." Jeremiah 30:17-18, "I will give you back your health again and heal your wounds. Now you're called the outcast in Jerusalem, the place nobody wants. But, says the Lord, when I bring you home again from your captivity and restore your fortunes, Jerusalem, which is us, will be rebuilt upon her ruins, and the palace will be reconstructed as it was before." Deuteronomy 2:10-11, "God protected them in the howling wilderness as though they were the apple of His eye. He spreads His wings over them even as an eagle overspreads her young. She carries them upon her wings, as does the Lord His people." Deuteronomy 33:27, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He thrusts out your enemies before you, and it is God who cries out, 'Destroy them.'" Psalms 18:2-6, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Hallelujah. So many more scriptures that I can tell you, so many more. Let's end with this one, John 3:16-17, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that even gave up His only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts, clings to, and relies on Him shall not perish. They shall not come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world in order to judge, to reject or condemn or to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe through Him." You know, the Bible tells us in Romans that though we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that because of the sin of Adam, the first man, we all have sin, and the wages of sin is death. But Romans 5:8-9 says, "God demonstrates His love towards us, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And it says in Romans 10:9-10, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If you have questions, if you need prayer, call us at 800 462-4058.